Certainly glad to see everyone out. It's a beautiful worship. The elders talked this month. We decided to talk about the different stages of Christian development. And I know that we've all heard lessons on those before. I'm going to do the first two Sundays, and I'll be talking about the Christian as an infant, and then some of the early development. This morning I'd like for us to really focus on infants, the newborn child of Christ, the babe in Christ. And I've got this thing on backwards, I think. I don't know. Maybe not. Andy, is that
right? That's the right way.
Okay, it's just my head. Who here considers himself a babe in Christ? I don't see hands, but that's because some are shy. But for the most part, most of us have been in the church, have been what we would consider ourselves to be Christians for some time. And we've heard the sermons, and we've had the classes about newborn babes in Christ, and how they are to desire the sincere milk of the word, and how they ought to wait maybe until their spiritual strength is increased before they take on the meatier challenges of being a Christian. But instead of focusing on the individual babe in Christ this morning, I want us to look at those of us who will or should be the caretakers of the babe. Those of us who will have an impact on that infant in Christ. So if we do have newborns in Christ among us, in our congregation, who is going to feed them? First question. Well, Brother Boyd, the preacher preaches the word. That's their food. So they get fed, right? I mean, that's the challenge, just feed them. And you've probably heard this before, but the studies show that if you take a newborn and all that you do is feed them, and the minimal personal health issue, changing the diaper, and that's all. No God. If you take that infant and you feed them, you do the health necessities, changing things like that, and handle them some, it's still not talking. They will survive, but their development will be tremendously impacted by the lack of that interaction. It won't develop right. Some of you may know children that as babies were sat in front of the TV, and that's where they were left all day. You see how they don't develop the speech and the social interaction and all that. They live, they don't thrive. But if you take the baby and you feed them, you take care of their health care necessities, you handle them often, you talk to them all the time, and you have that physical contact and you interact with them, that's the baby that will have the greatest chance of not just surviving, but thriving. So why would we not expect the same thing with an infant in Christ? There's a whole lot more to it than just making sure that they show up at the building and hear the preacher preach. And I'm not sure that I've ever heard a sermon really targeted to those of us as caregivers of the baby Christ. But I do know that they need more from us than just being fed. Like a baby in a crib, they're watching. And they are listening. And they are being molded and shaped by those Christians that they come in contact with. They watch the preacher and the preacher's kids. They watch the elders. They watch the class teachers, the song leaders, the mom on the second row, and the ones that may come very late and sit on the back row, or whatever, the dynamics that are going on within the meeting of the congregation. They watch. And we become what we behold. That's a truism for human growth and development, and the Bible reaffirms many times that that is also a spiritual truism. In Mark, the 9th chapter, verse 42, Jesus says that if anyone causes one of these little ones, one of those who have come to believe in him, to stumble, it would be better if a millstone were put around his neck and he'd be thrown in the sea. So it's imperative for us to be good role models. Not just parents, but as individual brothers and sisters of Christ. This is one of the really, I think, neat spiritual called symbiotic relationship, where, you know, I do something for you and you do something for me. We need to give them purpose and an example to grow strong in their faith. But at the same time, they give us purpose as role models to remain strong in our faith. Have there ever been times when you might have done something, but a young Christian was around, or a Christian period, and you didn't do it? I mean, you know, we do that. And I think of bad habits that I had in my life, and that I quit because I realized I was being a role model. And that somebody was watching. And I didn't. I may have shared this, but I had a neighbor I used to farm with him when I was a kid, junior high school. And in his basement, he had a refrigerator. And on one side, it was loaded with beer. And on the other side, it was loaded with pop. And we would come in from baling hay or whatever, and I would get a pop, and he'd get a beer. And I asked him one day, I said, why don't you ever offer me a beer? And he said, there are some people that can do like he did. Have one, put it down, go back down to work, and that's it. But he said he knew people that couldn't do that. That once they had one, they took two, and then three, and that their lives had been destroyed. He said, I will not be responsible for you. And that seemed like a little thing at the time, but looking back, you know, 40, 50 years, it's a big thing. We've got to understand that as brothers and sisters in Christ, as caregivers of newborn babies, the example that we give. There are some things that they need to hear from us who have once been infants in Christ but have grown older. They may be surprised that all of their friends or co-workers, because all babies in Christ aren't young, right? Some of them are much older. They may be surprised that all of their friends or their co-workers aren't nearly as excited about their new relationship with Christ as they are. I'm on fire. This is so exciting. Don't you want to hear about Jesus? No, not really. You know. And it seems like, well, but everybody should be as excited as I am. 1 Peter 4 and verse 4. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot-speaking people. I mean, not only will they not be so excited about your newfound faith in Christ, some of them will even turn up. Because that newfound faith in Christ is really a rejection of some of the things that they do. And then people say he's judging or she's judging. So the newborn babe in Christ needs to hear, don't be surprised. That's the way to do it. What if they don't, as an infant, still run with those of the world? I've been baptized, but I don't want to give up my friends. I don't want to stop doing some of the things that I've always done. They need to be told, you can't do that. You can't do that. Sometimes we're reluctant to make the call to say what needs to be said. Moms of newborns are sometimes very reluctant to cut the nails of babies for fear that baby will bleed. And what happens? Nails continue to grow. And baby scratches his face all over the place and still bleeds. So sometimes we just need to do what we need to do. When we see a babe in Christ that continues to do things to the world, we need to correct them, but in love. If not, they will assume that what they are doing is okay and will continue their end. When nobody said anything, I've always done it. Nobody told me not to. It goes back to another human newborn comparison. When babies are first born, they get some things mixed up. And one of the things that's all mixed up is day and night. I mean, I know that some of you are very familiar with all this. It seems like it's been centuries since I've been familiar with it. But anyway, they don't know the difference between day and night. They want to sleep in the day and stay awake and party at night. And it's like they got everything all mixed up. And it's the same way. I mean, you see, it's obvious to us that this is day and that's night. But it's not obvious to them. Because they have come from a different world. They've come from a different environment. And so what is normal and natural to us is not normal and natural to them. And so sometimes an infant in Christ who comes from a different lifestyle and does not immediately see all of this new spiritual life as we think he ought is a little confused. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one, have in a spirit of gentleness. Look into thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You don't say, man, you're a Christian. You ought to know better than that. Maybe they don't. Grow up. I mean, with gentleness. Trim the nails, but do it with love. The next comparison relates to the importance of learning sounds of farm animals. For some reason, parents of newborns will usually sooner than later try to impress the infant with such sounds as moo, ba, oink, and quack, quack, quack. And you say, what does that have to do with a newborn in Christ? Because it's going to be a long time, you see, a long, long time, if ever, that those sounds will have any significant meaning or purpose in the infant's life. So in the same way, we need not to try to impress a baby in Christ with the knowledge of Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, Latin, or any of the foundational languages, or any of the great knowledge that we have about the gospel when they first get started. The baby in Christ will not care how much we know until they know how much we care. And that's true of so many things in life. If we're talking to the babe in Christ. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 and 2, Paul, very educated person in the law, maybe he should read the he's the epitome of the apostles, or the one who knew a lot of stuff when we look at the background of some of the others. But there it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Now there's a place for that, and certainly Paul used his knowledge to help Christians better understand a lot of things. But there's a place for that. So how do I show a newborn babe in Christ that I have love for him, for her? Spend time with another feature of infants. They are, without question, time-consuming. But it is within that time of being together that a bond is formed. Ephesians 4, verse 3 talks about a bond of peace that we enjoy together as children of God. It is critical that the newborn in Christ, babe in Christ, experience that bond within the early stages of their spiritual development so as to develop a long and lasting faith. The bonding of a newborn Christian is so important. Yesterday I sold a cat to a young boy. He's 10, 11 years old. Been not pastoring me, but I've known each one and one for a good while. One little heifer cat. So they came and looked at it. We talked about price. And he's going to buy it. And the dad says, is she weaned? I said, no. She won't be weaned for a couple months. But I'll knock $100 off if you want to take her now so he can take that and buy cat formula and bottle feed it for the next couple of months. And I said, that will be the most positive time that the two of them spend together, and they will bond that relationship, and she will do anything for him, and following the union of all of that kind of stuff. It's that early, early sales. We struck the deal. Later, I found out that the boy had goats at home and had 2 extra gallons of milk to throw away every day, so, you know, he made out for it. But anyway, the point of the whole thing was the critical time. You can't, it's hard to do that when they're teenagers, when they're years old, of course, to have that bonding children. The same is true with babies in Christ. So you and I are caregivers to the babies in Christ. We are the mentors, the coach, the parent. When they have no parent, we are their brothers and sisters, and it's our responsibility to help them grow and become stronger in the faith. Next week we'll talk about the different stages of development. Cooper was down for the prayer of the prayer.